And will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our help and our Redeemer. Amen. A little boy was spending his Saturday in the sandbox. He had his box of trucks and cars and his little plastic pail and the shiny red plastic shovel. And as he was making some roadways and paths through the sandbox, he came across a big rock right in the middle. Using his little shovel, he dug around it and dislodged it, and he was able to slowly roll and push and struggling get it through the sand to the edge of the sandbox. And then he tried to lift it up over the edge of the wall of the sandbox, and each time he would struggle and push, and as it just about got over the edge, it would come tumbling back down, smushing his chubby little fingers. He tried and he tried, and then burst out in tears of frustration. All this time, his father had been watching from the living room window. And as the tears started to fall, a shadow fell across the boy. It was his father. Gently but firmly, he said, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you had?" The little boy cried and said, "But Daddy, I did. I used all of my strength." And he said, "No, son, you didn't ask me to help." Reaching down, he grabbed the rock and easily tossed it out of the sandbox. This story means a lot to me. This is something I can totally relate to. Anybody else? Maybe you've seen this story play out in your own life. For me, I always seem to find myself struggling with too many grocery bags or rushing all over town running errands when I just don't have the time. I don't know why, but for some reason, I have a real problem asking for help. Like this little boy, I get so focused on the small stuff of what I'm doing, I forget that my greatest strength, the greatest tool I have in my tool belt, is my connection with others. Asking for help is a challenge for so many of us. And asking for help is the theme of our scripture lesson for today. To set the scene, in that land, in that day, there was a corrupt king and an evil queen who exploited the poor and killed anyone who challenged their power. But there was one man in the land, Elijah, who continued to speak out against the corrupt king and queen. This prophet wielded a sword of truth and struck down false prophets who served only power and greed. Now, when the king's wife heard about the prophet and all that he was doing, she sent her soldiers after him to kill him. And Elijah ran for his life. He journeyed a day through into the wilderness until he collapsed under a solitary broom tree, exhausted. And he cried out to God, asking God to take his life, and possibly using the words we find in Psalm 42 and 43. "My soul longs for you, O God. Why have you forgotten me? My tears have been my food day and night. My adversaries taunt me. They say to me continually, 'Where is your God?' Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From those who are deceitful and unjust, deliver me. Send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling." Suddenly, an angel appeared and touched Elijah and said, "Get up and eat." And there appeared at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down again. The angel came a second time and touched Elijah and said, "Get up and eat and drink, for the journey will be too much for you." So Elijah ate and drank And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And he stood there on that mountain, and there was a great wind, so great that it was breaking the mountain apart. But God was not in that great wind. And after the wind, an earthquake that shook the foundations of the mountain. But God was not in that powerful earthquake. And then there was a fire that burned and consumed the land, but God was not in that burning fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence, a void. And Elijah asked for help. Elijah asked God for protection and strength. Elijah asked God to transcend boundaries and touch the earth with a moment of transformation. And God responded, saying, "Go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." Elijah returned to the wilderness of that city of Damascus, and within a few years, through the power of God and through the spoken truth of Elijah, the corrupt governor and his wife were deposed. Of course, they were replaced by other corrupt governors, but that's another story for another time. The key to this story, one of the most dramatic depictions of Elijah, is that Elijah directly asks God for help. He asks for help, and he's helped, though not in the way Elijah hoped for or expected, but in the way that was in line with God's will. Elijah wanted to die. He wanted his life to be over, his struggle to be over. He wanted to stay in that cave and never come out. He wanted his sufferings to end. But instead, he's given sustenance, food for the journey, in the form of bread and water. And he's given guidance from God. But God's words aren't exactly words of comfort. They're words to urge him on, urge him forward to go back to the wilderness of the city and face his fears. God gives Elijah exactly what he needs, but he only gives these gifts to Elijah because Elijah is humble enough to ask for help. So here's the thing. If you can find the strength or the weakness to ask for help, that is the moment where simultaneously you can become more fully connected to God and to those around you. It's the moment where the divine can break in and enter your life, because when we think that we can do it all on our own, we are closed off to God. But if you can muster enough strength or weakness to even put a prayer on your lips, or if you could turn to one of the Psalms and read those words out loud and say, "God, where are you?" Then you get a direct connection to God in two ways. One, you're saying, "I can't do this alone," which is true. None of us can. Because life isn't about getting things right on your own, it's about recognizing that we need each other. But also, if you call out to God, then you are also connected to all of the people, generations back, all the way back to the first people, Eve or Adam, who cried out to God in fear, in anger, in despair. We have been crying out to God since the dawn of time. And God has been with us. God has heard our cries. And God has brought us through dark times. And God has brought us unexpected sunny days. And so we know that in asking for help, we are using all of our strength. It's not that we're not strong enough to do what we need to do. When we ask for help, we're showing that we are strong enough to know that God is our greatest helper. It may not be the help we expected or the help we wanted, but it will be the help that we need, for God knows our every need better than we ourselves do. So, if you need someone to give you a ride or help you do some grocery shopping, ask, because the person you ask for help may also need someone to talk to or a way to feel connected to others. If you're in a fight with someone and you want them to listen to you, ask. Let me say my piece and then I will listen to you as well. Or if you're in need of some time to be quietly by yourself, put it on your calendar and tell the things in your life that get in the way, no, this is the time that I need. And if what you really need is to feel God's love encircling you, ask God for help. Ask God to help you feel connected to the saints of the past and of the future. Ask God to bless you with a special scripture or a special friend, a good relationship, and these things will come. We cannot be healed unless we seek to be healed. We cannot know what direction our lives should take unless we ask for guidance. We cannot feel true comfort and support unless we are willing to share our life with others. God has blessed us with the capacity to ask for help. And now it's up to us to do just that. Help us, O God. Amen.